Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
My name is Pastor Joel. I'm the discipleship restoration pastor here, and it is an honor to bring the Word of God tonight. Super excited. Super excited because I believe the Lord wants to speak to you about kind of really what Pastor Dan this weekend started with, sowing. He declared over our church the vision of the church, which is sowing. 2019 will be a year of sowing. He gave you a seed packet, and he wanted you to write something on that seed packet. The seed packet's essential for the year of growth, the year of sowing. Why? Because God wants you to do something intentional about what the changes you're going to make it happen for the Lord. I have a word for you tonight. I don't have some talk. I don't have lecture. I'm not going to open up liturgy and start pontificating some simple Reader Digest word to you. I have a word from God to you. And the word of God is the power of investment. The power of investment. Now, years ago, when I was running my business, I came across an article and a set of data that I started seeing that Apple Computer had just kicked out its CEO, Steve Jobs, and it posted the listing of the investment of where Apple Computer was at the time. At the time, the investment, I think there's a graphic, I don't know if they have it, the investment was $7 and I believe 30 cents. They had just removed Steve Jobs. They kicked him out of his own company and the stock price dropped. And I said to my wife at the time, boy, I wish I had enough for 10,000 shares of Apple way back then. I got my calculator out. That stock would be worth $1,600,000 today if I would have seized that opportunity. I missed that investment. I missed that opportunity, but I don't want you to miss what God has for you this year of sowing. Unless you invest in God's economy, which God's economy is not money. You know, Apple is cash rich today, $285 billion. That means they have cash at hand available to do whatever they want to do. And that's why they created this monster, this beast. They have $285 billion cash at hand. A phenomenal growth company. But what we have here at The Rock is better than gold, better than money, lasts longer, has an eternal perspective, and what God has in his economy and his investment is people. God's choice economy, God's choice commodity, God's choice treasure is people. It always will be people. It never will change. His perspective, his intention is always people. God is in the people business. He's in the people business. So after leaving that business, I decided to invest in something else. Me and my wife took a U-turn, and we said, we're going to spend ourselves investing in people. So much so, we adopted three kids. That investment was what you see among you today. Her name is Julia Alvarado. That investment, when Julia came to us, we didn't know Julia was going to be the director of women's ministry. We had no idea the anointing and calling. I knew she was special because when she came to our house, she not only looked like me, she had the joy of the Lord on her way back then. That's why we named her Julia Joy. That investment and that decision me and my wife did years ago is what turned our heart to do what we're doing here at The Rock today. We decided to make an investment that's going to last with an eternal perspective.
That investment is investing into the kingdom, investing into people. Bow your heads. Father God, today, as we come before you, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. I thank you, Lord, that you have a word in due season. You have a word that you want to declare over your church. You've made us all investors. Now we need to invest in something. Our lead pastors are pushing us to this mission, and this mission is to sow. You want this church to be sowing, and you want us to specifically tonight sow into the lives of people. You are declaring that over us, not only just a prophetic word, a word in due season, that those that listen to the word and do it will be abundantly blessed. And I thank you for the word that you're declaring over the Rock Church and World Outreach Center tonight at Overflow. And I thank you, Lord, that word and that seed of that word will birth many new things, primarily more souls to kingdom, and a larger perspective in what you want us to see and how you want us to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the three servants, or the parable of the talents. It's a familiar passage. We often quote it. Jesus came and was seeding kingdom-minded perspective on the lives of people. I'm going to read it, and I want you to follow along, starting at verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. And he called together his servants and entrusted them with money. Repeat that after me, money. And he gave them this money for a while he was gone. He gave them five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, one bag of silver to the last, and dividing it in proportion to their ability, he left and went on his trip. Verse 16. Then the servant who received the five bags began to invest the money and earned five more. Then the servant who had two bags of silver went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, everybody say long time, the master returned from his trip and called him to give the account of how they used his money. Key. His money, not their money. It was on loan. He said to them, he called them to an account, and he said, the master was, verse 19, after a long time, he called to a trip to give an account of his money, verse 20, then the servant, whom he had entrusted five bags, came forward with five more, and the master gave me five bags of the silver to invest, and I've earned five more. The master was full of praise. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have given me faithful in handling the small amount. Now we'll give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. My translation says, verse 22, then the servant who had received two bags of silver came forward and said, master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest. I've earned two more. The master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. Now I will give you many more responsibilities. And he said the same thing in my translation. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, master, I knew you were a harsh man. Some translation says a shrewd man, harvesting a crop that you didn't plant and gathering a crop you didn't cultivate. I was afraid to lose your money, so I hid it in the ground or in the earth. And looked, here, I give you money back. Verse 26, then the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvest crops and I didn't plant or I didn't gather and I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? Verse 27, at least you could have got some interest on it. He ordered them to take the money from that last servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what they have in the little will be taken away. Verse 30. Now throw the useless servant into utter darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Very powerful image that Jesus is describing to the common man, that's you and me, about his economy. Very interesting in how Jesus sets this with the story of a rich man who entrusts his wealth to common men. These common men, there were three of them, they did something unique, every one of them. Bible says the one that was entrusted with money, the one that got more invested and doubled. The one in the middle that got an investment, he doubled the investment. And the last one said, because of fear of who he was and fear of losses, I decided to do nothing with it and was judged for that missed opportunity. I know in the kingdom of heaven, and I know in the kingdom of earth, I might have lost buying that Apple stock, but I never lost in investing in the hearts of people. When you invest in the hearts of people, and that's who God trusts us with, it's a typology, it's an imagery, money and people. Kingdom, kingdom mindset, God always flips principles. We get judged all the time here at The Rock that The Rock is about money. No, 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 no. Let's get it straight. The Rock is about people. The Rock is about souls. And the reason why we want these seats to be filled up is not to look good. It's to make him look good. And when we make him look good, then we're trusted with the little and he gives us much. Kingdom economy and kingdom mindset is what we're up against here tonight. The power of investment is not missing the opportunity full of money, gold, and silver. Missing the opportunity with what God has given you and what God has entrusted in your care. What is that, pray tell, you ask me? Well, I'm glad you did. Number one, the investment in what invest in what God has given you. Invest what God, Pastor, I don't have anything. If I came to visit your home and I opened up the refrigerator, I might say, you have a lot. Or maybe you don't. I tell you, I've been here long enough and in ministry long enough to understand, God doesn't need talent. God doesn't need abilities and skill set. God doesn't need money. He takes the base things to confound the wise, and he takes the little that's been entrusted with, and he develops people from the baseline. Those that God has raised up, even in national and international ministries, had a beginning. And when they started with a passion to do anything God wanted him them to do. They started with nothing. Oh, that sounds like the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, box of Kleenex and 12 people. That sounds like God landed in San Bernardino and touched the hearts of those 12 people and built an amazing church that has went all over the world. Now, why would God do that to them or to us? Not because we're smart, not because we're intellectual, not because we know everything, but we've been entrusted with a little and we've multiplied. And we put it in God's piggy bank and that pays dividends. You can't tell me you don't have something that God has given you. Maybe it's a God dream. Maybe it's a focus. Pastor Antonio had a prophetic word last week, and he declared it over you. And I was sitting right in that seat over there, and I heard something different from the Holy Spirit. He had a word, and it was this. If you have a problem speaking, come. God wants to heal your voice. I heard something a little deeper and a little bit funnier. In the sense to where I told Pastor Antonio, you know what was cool about what God was doing in that overflow service? I was hearing the Spirit of the Lord recalibrate not voiceless people, that people that lost their voice to speak, now he's giving them the ability to speak. Has nothing to do with vocal cords. Has to do with your intended purpose. That some of you have lost your direction and have no voice, and God is arming you with a voice of authority, a voice of intention, a voice with purpose, and a voice of execution. Has nothing to do with speech pattern or vocal cords. It has the ability to speak forth the mission and the purpose and the anointing of Jesus Christ. And that purpose and anointing is here tonight. God wants to give you a voice for the lost, for the broken, for the maimed, for those that have been discontent, disenfranchised, those that have been blamed, those that have been maligned, those that have been big kicked to the curb. God wants to give you a voice for them. God wants to give you that voice. When I heard the voice of freedom, I ran to Jesus and I said, Lord, make me free so I can help others be free. That is the baseline of how God wants to invest. If you've been given much, you are expected. The problem with our society is we want more of someone else's wealth. Oh, really? We're not satisfied with the little that God has given us, so we get confused. You have to invest in what God has given you. What has he given you? Look at the scriptures. And the kingdom of heaven is like an illustrated story, a man going on a trip, and he gave him 5 bags. He proportioned, at the end of that scripture, to their own ability. I've never, ever, ever met a man or a woman that doesn't have something that God wants to redeem. I've never met an individual, and I've seen the most broken people here at The Rock. And our journeys of doing breaking free and restoration ministry and discipleship ministry here at The Rock, I've seen the most depleted human beings. And when they come out of the ash heap of their sin, God redeems them and blesses them. And gives them intention, gives them vision, gives them sight, gives them focus, gives them mission-minded purpose. And that mission-minded purpose, lit on fire with Christ, they now have a story and a testimony that the enemy can't put out. When someone is free, they're free indeed. They yell their freedom from the hilltop. Come and look at me. I am free. Now, God does this intentionally, and he does it on purpose because free people, free people. Free people, free people. And I'm talking to the redeemed of the Lord. Here's the redeemed of the Lord. You're free, and your mission is to help people be free in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's your focus. Our focus is to promote Jesus. And when we promote him, we throw what we have to him and to his feet. And God blesses it intentionally. When God does that, God reignites the individual, and now they have a purpose. Some people are waiting around to find the will of God, almost like the will of God is going to bump into them. The will of God oftentimes is driven by need. Will of God is sometimes driven by your own pain. The will of God is sometimes driven by much loss, because then you're humble enough to listen. As God replenishes and recycles you, and now you recover to a different level, because there's inside of you, I know what it is to go without eating. I know what it is to be in bondage. I know what it is to have much losses. When God renews the mind and the heart of men, he replenishes them with an intended purpose and a focus that is unstoppable, because there is an awareness, hey man, I was in that FDC line. I didn't have anything at one time, and God filled me up not only with his food, but with the food of the Word of God. And I got charged, and I have a mission. And that mission won't stop. I'm talking to people here in Overflow that have had a God dream and you've let it die. You've let it die. Why? Because when you try to sell it to people, here's what they said to you: I'm not buying. Well, people will never buy what was always God's. God bought it, and he bought it and redeemed you with it. So your God dream is still active, whether you know it or not. It might be dormant, but you need to be shooken up by the Holy Spirit to let him activate that God dream so he can ignite in you intentional purpose. This is why Pastor Dan this morning was declaring, maybe your soul is a new ministry. Maybe it's a new business. Maybe it's a new opportunity. Why? Because in the hands of the master, in the hands of the master, you put up forth his investment. He wants you to double it. Wow. So when Pastor Dan was declaring that he's going to buy vans, and maybe there's an individual here that can write a check for $250,000, to me, that sounds like kingdom. Not money, sounds like kingdom. That there is an investor that made a lot of money and was anointed to create wealth, and that wealth is kingdom, and that wealth is given to the kingdom of God and his economy. You're not rich just to be rich. You're rich to be and have a purposeful intention, and that purposeful intention is anointed. And once he puts your hand to the plow, don't look back, man, and don't bury your investment. Don't bury it. If you bury your investment, you will lose. Point number two, you need to invest in what God has given you. You need to invest, then it will be multiplied with more influence and more responsibility. You know, I've been on Instagram because I'm fasting it. And in Instagram, there's this buzzword called influencers. Are you an influencer? Influencer is like somebody that has a lot of so-called followers. Someone that when they show a picture, when they show a product, that they influence the culture to buy. This is man's economy. When God makes you an influencer, you don't need an Instagram. You don't need a Facebook. You don't need man's economy. You need God's economy. And he turns nothing out of something, and he something flourishes where there was nothing there. That's why. This is why I love the way God does this. He picks the least likely individuals. The least likely. The Joel Alvarados. The least likely of individuals. The only one who wanted to love me was Jesus and my wife, and found me. Broken, but I needed healing. Had some intention and purpose, but I didn't know how to do it. Had some energy and focus, but I didn't know how it was going to come together. But until I met Jesus Christ, that all changed. When that changed, he gave me some of the investment, a little piece. This little piece of investment has now went far and wide. I believe freedom is going all over the world out of this base called the Rock. I believe this rock right here, that where Jesus Christ built his church, was the bedrock for that seed to flow globally. Now, I had to listen and I had to make the investment. And the investment early on was kind of goofy. I didn't know how to do it. I would tell the Lord like Moses, I don't know how to spell right or spoke right. And the Lord says, I don't need your spelling and I don't need your speaking ability. All I need is your willingness to invest. Are you willing to invest? Are you willing to invest? Too much is given, much is required, the Bible says. Young people today want the instant wealth or instant success or instant notoriety. It doesn't come without a price. Don't listen to what the world tells you and how to be popular and how to be an influencer. All right, these things are cool and they're all right, fine. But there's only one that you need to invest in, and he will, if you double down with him and you invest in God's economy, then he will say to you, like he said to the servants, well done, good and faithful servant. But here's my question I have to ask all of you. What are you investing in? What are you investing in? Well, we have a retirement account. We put some investments in. And I'm believing as I retire, I will be able to have the freedom and the financial freedom to live well without working. That's great. But what about God's economy? What about the people economy? What about the souls that have crossed your path? What about the hurting? What about the confused? Oh, let me tell you, I'm going to share with you a statistic. I didn't think I was going to share it right now, but I will, because the Holy Spirit wants me to. Look at this statistic. And I don't like stats because you can get them to tell you everything, but this is phenomenal. This thing, it made me cry when I read it. The state of our land and the state of where we're at today in this land called America. Here's where we're at. 70% of the youth in state institutions are from fatherless homes. 70. 63% of youth suicide come from homes without fathers. 90% of all homeless and runaway children grew up without fathers. 85% of children who show behavior patterns of disorders come from fatherless homes. 85% of all rapists motivated by displaced anger are come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from homes without fathers. Abortion is another side effect of fatherlessness because women are being impregnated by men and not fathers. We are a fatherless generation. We don't need no more bells and whistles. We just need men and women like you to step up to become mothers and fathers to those that don't have any. And you become their mentor. And you become their discipler. And you become their SPT. You want to change the generation? Look around you. You want to give of yourself? Give some of these high school dropouts a little bit of your time and watch them. You want to do something to change the culture of our educational-less society? Why don't you give of your time? Why don't you mentor a young person that don't know how to spell or speak? Why don't you give somebody down the street that doesn't know how to fill out a job application, help them out to get a job? You want to make societal changes? Then we need to change this. If we don't change this side of investment, we're going to be running to silver and gold. And that, Peter said, he has none. Jesus is not about the opportunities of making anybody just independently wealthy in and of itself. But he is in the business of anointing you with the capacity to change. And that change has the capacity to change others. And a little goes a long way, folks. You don't have to do a lot to change people's lives. You don't have to make a whole list. Well, I'm going to make a business plan. I want to get it funded. I want to put it on social media. I want 1 million followers. Then I will move, because that is the will of the Lord. You just have to start where you're at. Oh, some fathers, you need to start with your own kids. Other mothers, you need to start with your own children, your base, your house. This is where I got changed. Before the Lord made me a pastor of his house, I had to be a pastor of my own house. And I had to fix the things that were wrong. Daddy was working, but he was missing. Daddy was disconnected. Daddy, they were growing up in a fatherless culture because daddy was too busy to bring the check, but not bring me to the table. And because I decided to change that, I didn't really care about anything else but feeding my family and taking care of my family. And I went dormant for a lot of years until the Lord said, there's a need in my house. Today, there's a God dream in you. There's investments that need to be making happening. The Rock Church and World Outreach Center cannot change independently of our leadership and our staff. We can't do it, folks. We were never intended to do it. Biblically, we weren't. I don't have enough time. Pastor Dan and Pastor Jessica don't have enough energy to reach people like you do. But the in and when the base is activated, then their multiplication can exist and supernatural growth can exist. And when supernatural growth, the reason why we want you to bring all kinds of jacked up people at the Rock, and we welcome all of them. Here's why. Because we see them healed. We see them free. I see things on them that the world had doesn't. This is why. This is why God said in a parable, he hates empty seats, because that was a typology of bringing a party together and the people that were of elite status didn't show. And Jesus said, go to the highways and the byways and bring them in. There's room in my house. Here's what Jesus did. He flipped the world economy to the elites and the somebodies and the prideful practitioners of the pickpocket prophets. I say no to you. And to the nobodies, I welcome you. So then I went in that line. Pastor Joel, I went in that line. I got in that nobody line. And when that nobody line, it was a big line. I remember I'm a big line, man. There's a lot of nobodies here. And you're one of them. All of a sudden, I started getting inspiration that I have something God did inside of me. And this little thing could be birthing a big thing. So I got to be consistent. I got to be faithful. I got to be ready. I got to be intentional. Can you pick up this? Bus rides for kids, do whatever. My wife and me got here to the Rock. We did everything and anything. Children's ministry. We were running around fast and furious. I was looking for computers to find from fat cat rich businessmen in Orange County so we can have new computers here at the Rock. I said, hey, you got God's computers. We need them. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you got brand new computers and the Rock Church and World Outreach Center needs them. Well, be my guest. Take 10 of them. I remember I started asking the Lord, hey, man, these people have a lot of your money. And he told me this, then ask them. So I started asking and asking and asking. And guess what? I remember delivering all these computers to Pastor Mike. And Pastor Mike said, where did these come from? And, you know, because I was a smart aleck, I stole them. I didn't steal them. I just seen something through the lens of God's economy. And it was children's ministry needs something new, and I want to give it to them. And I don't care if I'm using that computer. It's God's computer. You have something inside of you. Too much is given, much is required. And I'm talking to everybody at Overflow tonight. You got intentional purpose. God did something to you. There's just no reason why you were saved. There was a reason why God saved you. There's a reason why God healed you. There's a reason why God is elevating you. There's a reason why you dream these dreams and think these things. There is a reason. He just doesn't do things willy-nilly. He puts things in people's hearts. And it bothers you. And some of you, I'm talking to you prophetically, it bothers you to where you can't even sleep. That's the God dream. That's what you have to put under the care of the master. And I'm warning you, don't bury it. Last point. Don't bury it. Don't bury it. Why? Because we have a people have a tendency, because we lack investing, it has consequences. We have the ability to walk in fear. We walk in fear. But what if they don't buy my idea? So what? Here's a good one. What if they don't like me? So what? They didn't like Jesus. What if I'm not all polished? So what? Better yet, you're not all polished. Then God can take something out of nothing and make you shine so he could have the radiant glory on your face. Oh my God, really? Yeah, the least likely. I love it. All throughout the Bible, the least like Gideon. Really? Gideon, a wimp who he raised up as a general. A general. Really? I can't. Oh, God said, I can if you're willing to listen and to do it my way, not your way. Because your way, you want all these people to beat up on other people. Well, here's why, Gideon, so you can get the glory. I don't want you to get the glory. I want to get the glory. So find these rogue men, and I'm going to take a bunch of misfits, and I'm going to win without one shot, one spear, one cannon, one nothing, even though they didn't exist in those days. Without one death, with a shout from the heaven, I will give you a winning victory. When we're willing to invest, then there's benefits. When we're unwilling to invest, there's consequences. You will lose. The Bible says much is given, much is required. I think I was in that seat where Reverend Teresa's at, and John Bevere was here long ago. And he was declaring over our congregation, amazing services. John Bevere, if you don't know, he's coming back to the Rock with our missions conference, an amazing man of God. And he was declaring prophetically, some of you have a God dream and some of you have a God voice. If you do not use what God has given you, he will remove it from you and he'll pass you up and give it to somebody else. And maybe, he said, some of you have been declared this, and some have not signed up for the task, but you did. I don't know what that number is, he said to the congregation, but you might know. And I went home and I said to my wife, Pastor Joanna, I wasn't a pastor at the time. I don't know if I was or not. I can't remember. It's been so long. I said, how many people, when John Bevere declared over us, that said no to restoration to our one yes? And she got a number, and I got a number. And we tucked it in our heart. We waited till we got home, and we got home. We heard this voice. She said it, and I said, and I confirmed it. 10. There are 10 people that said no to restoration of the Rock to our one yes. I don't know who those 10 were, but I know they meandered, and they said no. They didn't make the investment. They decided to turn the head and walk. Here's what I'm declaring to you. Please don't say no to Jesus. Please don't say no to your investment. It's not about money, folks. Get that away from you. It's about intentional purpose and anointing. Some of you have a heart for children. Some of you have a heart for kids with mental disabilities. Some of you have a heart for the broken or for the homeless. Some of you were homeless, that God knew you're no longer homeless. And you have a pantry in your spirit. You have something on you that's so powerful. You're like this, but nobody's interested. I'm here to tell you, and the Spirit is leading me to say this. God is. The Holy Spirit is interested in your God idea. Because it's a God idea. If you invested in God's economy, it will multiply. But if you don't do it, and here's a warning, you're going to miss it. And this context, this is why we say we have one focus here at The Rock. It's souls. That's the focus. We want you to bring your friends and your family. Why? Because we want to see them saved. And when they're saved and God ignites them, then they're useful. Where they're at in those conditions, they're not. We just don't want to fill up the house to make us look good. I said it earlier. We want to make him look good. Because every one of us, leaders that are up here leading, are going to be held high, call to the Master Jesus Christ. And he's going to tell us, what did you do with the people of The Rock? And here's what I'm going to tell him. Lord, I pushed them to your vision. Lord, I pushed them to your word. Lord, we pushed them to do intentional purpose and sow into your economy. And we seen them do it. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But what is he going to say to you, my friend? You know, I can hear this. Well, Pastor, I have one problem. I don't like people. Well, God likes you, and he can help you to like people. He can use you, the most complex people God uses. When I get to heaven, I have some questions to ask Paul. I see him as a very complex man. I see him as a very complex man. And I'm going to ask him some questions. But God has to ask you questions before you get to heaven. What are you going to do with the investment he's given you? I don't have anything. Put it in the hand of the master and watch him work. But please don't go to that table fearful and afraid. You will lose. All kinds of stories. Great movies are made of people that didn't have nothing became something. People love the hero story. People love to go to the movies and see these heroes to start from nothing. Here's what I'm declaring to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. You're God's heroes. You're God's people. You're God's voice. You're God's plan. You're God's mission. God loved you enough to die for you and to give you salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews, so great of salvation. The mystery of all mysteries was deposited to you. But Pastor, I have inabilities. I have things that I can't do. That's right. We overcome them with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We overcome them and we overcome these mindsets when we declare to the Lord, Lord, I've been given much. Here's the questions I have for you. To much is given, much is required. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. He said to the disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Will you become the fathers and mothers of The Rock? Will you become the discipleship makers of The Rock? Will you become the mentors to the fatherless generation? Will you change your culture starting with one? Will you step up to the assignment and the ordination assignment that God wants to renew something powerful and beautiful in San Bernardino using you? Will you? Will you sow and invest in him? At the end of Pastor Dan's sermon, he said this in 2 Corinthians. May he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply seed to your soul and increase the fruit of your righteousness declared out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Hey, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? I want everybody to close their eyes. What's in your hand? What has God given to you? Tonight we learn that we need to invest. And we need to invest so we could be multiplied. Because lacking investment has consequences. I want everybody to take their right hand and lift it up. Everyone. Because God wants to see it. Right hand signified a position of authority. That's why it says Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father. You have been commissioned by the authority of God with what's in your hand. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that is. But I know you have it and you possess it. You've been saved intentionally and on purpose. You have an anointing. You have vision. You have a passion. You have now substance inside of you. And maybe you haven't seen it, but you're going to declare it tonight. Maybe you have seen it and you've got stuck, and God wants to unstuck that. He wants to free that. And he wants to give you the liberties. And I don't know if it's supernatural funding. I don't know if it's an executable source. I don't know if it's a business plan that's going to spin a millionaire's top. I don't know what it is, but you got something in your hand. And God wants intentional purpose tonight. He doesn't want you to squander your investment. He doesn't want you to throw your investment away. He doesn't want this tonight to be an overflow of another, just another service. He wants something from you tonight. Intentionally. So with your right hand, you give it to the Father. Now, open that hand. And that hand of the simple openness of the hand is a figurative message to Jesus that everything that's in your hands is his. Everything. We live life with an open palm. Nothing is ours, folks. Nothing. It's an open palm. And we declare this over you tonight. Jesus, I declare with our palm open and our gifts present, I pray a multiplication of these gifts supernaturally. Use them how you want to and when you want to. I've been commissioned by the Holy Spirit here at Overflow to invest my seed. And this investment will last a lifetime. Maybe he's commissioning you to be a mentor or a discipler, a disciple maker. Maybe he's influencing you for a new vision and a new plan. Maybe it's a community ministry. Maybe it's just in your block. Maybe it's in your company. Maybe it's at your school. Maybe it's a God dream that God has given you. With your open palm, give it to him. Father, we cede this to you. And as an obedient act to you, I pray that you bless it. Like you took the loaves and the fish of the little boy, and you lifted it up to heaven, and you said, Lord, bless this food. Lord, bless what is in our hand so we could multiply and never see ourselves bearing, hiding, and running from the investment you gave us. In Jesus' name we declare that. Amen. Did you get anything out of it tonight? Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.